Thank you very much for praying for us. And I know you, when you pray for us and our ministry, but for Hank and myself, we always include all the things. But it's good also to hear, as Brother Roddy did, the mention of the Gospel Express broadcast. I can't say I get letters saying people trust Jesus Christ. But I know this. I'm an internet subscriber and having some problems, and they shut me down because I hadn't paid my bill. I didn't pay my bill because I had some minutes on there that I thought wasn't right. And I started to talk to them about it after they had shut me down, after I couldn't get on about a month ago. So this afternoon I decided I'll call. I need to get back online. I need to know who's sending me email messages and other things. And kind lady was Mrs. Newbold. And after talking to her for a while, and she said, if you'll take a check for half of it to Batelco, I'll trust you. I said, but you don't know if I'm going to take it there. She said, well, I'm going to take your word. She said, because, you know, I listen to you all the time. Very sober. She said, and I want to tell you how much that the music and the message means to me. It really, I never met the lady before in my life, right? But, you know, this assembly and others help to send that message out. I'm just an instrument who puts these things together most of the time on a Sunday morning at 6 a.m. Put it together, get it to the Express. I'm just an instrument. And many others are a part of that. And the music from the choir most of the time. And this week what we did, somebody said to me, who was that guy leading the singing? And he sounded like one of Ronald Aubrey's boys. I said, yeah. There was a place in there where Billy paused and said, we'll let the ladies sing. And normally we just cut that out. But I said, no, I'll leave it in there. We'll make him, if he stays around Spanish Wells, we'll make him popular, I guarantee you. Make him a star. Right? Brother Don, you like that, right? Appreciate that. This evening we want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16 again, please. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Sunday morning we began to look at how God discovers his man. We're still preaching from David's life. And we're looking at governing principles which determine God's choice of David. Governing principles which all of us can look to, because God is looking for men who, it can be said, are men after God's own heart, men and women. David was only 15 years of age, and he's a man that God had told Samuel to anoint as the king. I'm going to read a few verses, not the whole chapter. I thought I would start at verse 6. If you would turn 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 6. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. For the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are all thy children here? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and of beautiful countenance, handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day onward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and holy word. When God discovered David, he discovered that David was a man of character. It says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. Now, David had a spirit in him where God looked down and God could see that David's spirit was a spirit that had been touched by God. He was a man after God's own heart. And that spirit in David, David's spirit was a spirit that was looking to God, fellowshipping with God, a spirit which was alive unto God. You see, there came the day in verse 13 when they were going to anoint him. But David knew before that. David knew something about spiritual development in his own life. We saw that there was fellowship in the Spirit because the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And we noted that the New Testament has a lot to say about doing the work of God in the Spirit. In fact, we need to understand that when we come to remember the Lord, worship has to be done in the Spirit. It has to be Spirit-directed. And so all of our lives should be directed by the Spirit of God. I'm yielded to Him. It's not a one-time thing that you do, but it's something that you continually do. Because it's so easy to forget that we have made our choice. God has made us a free moral agent, and somewhere along the way, I always refer to this. I refer to this because I believe that God used a man one night. God used many men in my life, women as well, to help me. But I remember a night when a man named Leonard Raven Hill stood right where I'm standing. And I sat about where Brother Lambert is sitting this evening. And I have never in all of my life felt so convicted. The Spirit of God was dealing with me in such a way that I had not been dealt with since the night outside this door when I was dealt with as a sinner. But now I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I'm remembering the Lord. And the Lord is doing something in my life. He's trying to get a hold of me. He wants to direct me into full-time service. And I remember that. It stuck with me. Because you see, that night he said some things. As you know, Dent Ravenhill preached about the control of the Spirit. He preached the deeper life ministry. His ministry was the deeper life ministry. And that night at the end of the service, he had some things to say to anyone in the service who felt that God's hand was upon them and felt that God was speaking to them. Some things to say. And it was then, definitely I feel then, that God very definitely spoke to me. And I believe that I had to respond to what God said to me on that evening. God spoke to me many other times. But it's a daily thing. It's a moment by moment, trusting Him, committing ourselves to Him, making sure that our lives are free from all sin. Somebody says, how do you live and know the fullness of the Spirit? Well, if my life has other things in it, it can't be full of the Spirit. If my life, if you look at it as a house with rooms in it, and very often you move into a house and you, young people know this, that they don't always occupy all the rooms. I know when my wife and I went into my house, one of the bedrooms was a long time before we could ever get the money to occupy that room, and we put junk in there, you know? But eventually we cleaned it out and we painted it. We moved a bedroom set in there. Pretty soon a child came along and we moved. And pretty soon we occupied every room in the house. You remember how that when Nehemiah finished the walls of Jerusalem, and Nehemiah had, he thought everything all set up. Nehemiah said, I'm going back to see my old boss. And Nehemiah hadn't gone very long until Tobiah and Geshem, the Horonite, they came to those who were keeping the treasury. And those who were keeping the treasury were a little weak, you know, and what they did was they gave in to them, and pretty soon they moved in with all their junk. When Nehemiah came back, somebody went to Nehemiah and they said, Nehemiah, you'll never believe what happened. You hadn't turned your back when those enemies, those who've been trying to get a foothold in here to discourage your people, to set this work back, to rob God of His glory, they have moved in to the very sanctuary. Nehemiah, the scripture says, he went and he took a hold of them and threw them out with their stuff. The stuff is what stops God from controlling every area of my life. The stuff, the world, the flesh and the devil, it's thrown at me through the eye gate. It's thrown at me through the ear gate. It's coming at me every hand and side. And there are times when I give in, I yield to it and I accept it. And pretty soon I'm letting it control me. It doesn't totally control me. Many times you probably wouldn't see it, but I know it's controlling some area of my life and I've got to tear it. The song says, the objects that get attached to my heart, I don't care how dear and how near, they're taking the place of God, I must tear them out. I must throw them out. Take them to the dung gate. Take them to the dung gate. And so that the Lord can have His rightful place. David discovered that there was a fellowship in the Spirit. And while man looks at the outward appearance, and sometimes they won't know what's happening between us and God, God looks on the heart. And that goes the other way too, because sometimes men will look at us and we can go through all the motions and look like we're just doing great things for God. And God looks at that heart and God says, there's an evil heart kneeling down in there. There's something wicked, something evil that you're allowing in there. And you've got to tear it out if you want to serve me, if you want to bring glory to me. And I've got to deal with it. You can't deal with it for me. I've got to deal with it when God shows it to me. That was the kind of man David was when God showed it to him. David said, I'll tear it out, Lord. When the Lord said, David, you're going in the wrong direction. David, you're keeping company with the wrong people. David, you're making some wrong decisions. David said, I'll take care of that, Lord. Speak. I'm hearing you, Lord. Because David was a man of character. David had an experience with God. And we notice that it happened with his devotional life. We saw Psalm 23, which talks about the devotion of David and the devotion of God to David. David's experience in that psalm is, the Lord is my shepherd. David had learned to be a good shepherd. You know, there is a perfect shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. I guess one of my favorite hymns, one of them, because I can never stand here and say, that's my favorite hymn, because there are so many that are favorite. One Brother Billy gave out the other Sunday night. I seem to be singing that in my office while I'm looking at a computer screen and other things. I'm singing that song, that gospel song. And it was so good that I thank those who were doing the recording. They recorded the congregation singing that night, and I was able to put it on the air. And it was just something. But another one that I like is, I Have a Shepherd. Don't you like that? One I love so well. How He has blessed me, the song says. Tongue can never tell. Tremendous song. Well, we have a shepherd, a perfect shepherd. When others around us are men, they may fail us. Because God never called anybody who was perfect. We look for people to be perfect. We want a perfect doctor. We want a perfect banker. We want a perfect elder. We want a perfect preacher. We want everybody perfect. But we forget that nobody is perfect in this life. If you look close enough, if you put the microscope and you can get it as powerful as you want it to be, you'll discover that there's some flaw somewhere along the way. Now, God's grace helps us to have less of those flaws. That's what God does by working on us through His Word, by being submitted to Him. And what you'll notice is this, that David also knew this experience in his vocational life. You remember when he was brought before King Saul, David talked about his experience in the Spirit. He was up against danger and death. And actually, it's 1 Samuel chapter 17 And verse 37, he says it like this, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion, from the paw of the bear," and then he says, "will deliver me." You see, and that's the confidence that Freddie has right now, as our brother Gordon has been telling us this evening. That's the confidence. He has delivered me. Freddie knows an experience when he bowed the knee. He delivered him from sin. He delivered him from hell. And so if he has the power to do that, he can also deliver us. It's in his power. He's able and he's willing. It says he will deliver. That victory, that deliverance is not only something that happened in the past, but it's something that I can look to him to experience day by day. And I can also look to him to experience that deliverance in the future. Past, present, and future. The victory is ours. You know why? Because we're on the side that has already won. Brother Don, you're on the side already won. Don't ever forget that. He won. He won the victory. But then, number two, there's faithfulness in the Spirit. Fellowship in the Spirit was the basis and foundation of David's character. But then there's faithfulness in the Spirit. It's also what the outside world sees as I move about, as was prayed this evening, that the gospel that we preach will not only be that which comes from the pulpit, but that gospel which we walk day by day, that gospel that we speak day by day, that gospel that others look at our lives and see the work that God is doing in us, and they're able to say, there is a man of God, there is someone whom Jesus Christ has touched. The testimony of others concerning David was that he was a man. That's what it says in verse 18, that he was a man. Because somebody's gonna stop for a moment and say, hey, Brother Louie, this sounds like a super individual. This sounds like somebody that God must have been giving a supercharged needle every day. God must have been giving him some heavy vitamins to keep him spiritually fit. No, I guarantee you it was no different from you and I, born of the same stock. Adam was his pa. Like every one of us, Adam's our daddy. Adam, born of Adam. Every one of us. And God don't have any favorites. I don't believe God has any favorites. You read about John, it says that John was the one whom Jesus loved. That's what they say. But it's because John leaned on the breast of Jesus. Because John walked with Jesus. Because John sacrificed. Because John paid the price of endearment, of fellowshipping with his master, of being with him. While others went off and fellowshiped with their friends, John stayed with Jesus. And John wanted to be as close as he could be. And so he leaned on the breast of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was said because of that, the disciple that Jesus loved. God don't have any favorites. But the testimony of others was that he's a man. Secondly, prudent or quick-witted in speech. I believe that reveals something of the keenness of this man. I believe he was a very honest young man. I believe that this was a faithful young man as he served his father. I don't believe he questioned when his father said, I need you to go take care of the sheep. I don't believe he stood there and talked back to his dad and said, what about the other boys? He could have. He had the right, if anybody had the right to say it. Well, I'm the youngest. But God was molding his character. God was working in this young man's life. God had him on his wheel. He was the clay in the potter's hand. And God was shaping his life because God knows the future. And God knows what he's going to do in our life. God knows what he's going to use us for. We don't know what God is going to use us for. God didn't ask us to know. God never asked any of us to understand what he's going to use us for. What God said was, God said, make yourself available. And then the other thing is, I mentioned the other night, is God said, make sure that you're usable. Make sure you're available. That's my will. But then it also involves holiness. It also involves God working in me and on me, my allowing Him to work in me by His Word. As I hear the instruction of the Word, as I hear Him speak to me, it's molding my life. And I must understand that God works with holy vessels. And so there's the testimony of others. And what you find is this. While others looked at David and said, that is gotta be such a menial job, tending those old and young and middle-aged sheep. Sheep! All my life, I heard people call them dumb animals. That's what they used to call them. Dumb animals, they'd say. Bunch of dumb animals. God was teaching him how to lead his people. God was teaching him certain principles that you use with sheep. Because God pictures the world, He pictures us as the church, as sheep. And as sheep, you need shepherds. Now, He is the shepherd. That's why the songwriter said, I have a shepherd, one I love so well. That's why David said, the Lord is my shepherd. But there are under shepherds. And David was learning how to lead. David was learning some spiritual principles. David was learning to be faithful in that which is least. Because you see, if you had taken a vote around town, which job is the most glorious and glamorous? Is it the one that David is doing out there on the hillside of Judea, or the ones that his brother's doing defending the country? Hey, he's out there fighting the big battles and coming home, and the ladies are out on the streets and they're shaking their tambourines and they're having a big their big dinners, and the wine is flowing, and they're having a great time when these boys return. And where's old David? Where's young David? Where's the little boy? Out there tending sheep. Being faithful. And so he was faithful. He was a steward of faithfulness. Faithful in that which is least. Sometimes there are people who want the big job, the big promotion in the church. But they've forgotten that they've got to prove themselves faithful in the least, in the menial things. And then God will say, come up higher. God said, I got a job for you to do. The other thing is this, that there was fearlessness in spirit. David, it said about him in verse 18, he's a mighty man of valor. Only a boy. We sing the little chorus, don't we? Only a lad called David. Only a rippling brook. Only a lad called David. But five little stones he took. Kind of stuck in my head here. Only a lad. Only a lad. It's very unusual. But a lad is spoken of as a mighty man of valor. Because I believe that even though David was a lad, he believed with all his heart that there is no danger in the path of duty. When God says, go ahead, I've got a job for you to do. You do it and God will protect you. And God will provide for you. You know, he recounts his encounter with Goliath to King Saul sometime later. And he talks about this fearlessness. He said, your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and a lion and a bear came, and they took a lamb out of the flock. I was responsible for that flock. I was responsible for every one of those lambs. I loved every one of those lambs. In fact, if he could go on to tell you, he would tell you that he could call every one of them by name. I believe David could call every one of them by name. I believe he almost knew the heartbeat of every one of them. And he said, that lion and bear, I went out after it, I struck it, took the lamb out of its mouth. They came after me, and you know what I did? I caught it by the beard. I struck it, and I killed it. 15. 15. David had a fear of God, and he didn't fear anything else. I believe it's Proverbs that says, and it's probably Solomon who sang, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we teach that to our children, don't we, for in Sunday school, that's been one of the texts that and we must continue to teach that. There are many memorials in Westminster Abbey. But I believe that one of the most noble monuments in Westminster Abbey is that of Lord Lawrence. It only bears his name and the date of his death. And these words, he feared man so little because he feared God so much. That's David. David feared man so little, he feared the animals so little, he feared everything so little because he feared God so much. And so David is set apart by God because God discovers in David sterling character. And that sterling character that David finds in, that God finds in David is springing from a fellowship, with God by His Spirit. It's springing from a faithfulness. It's springing from a fearlessness that only comes from a heart that is united to their God and dependent and believing in their God. But God also discovered capability in David. Not only did he discover character, but he discovered capability. The scripture says it like this in verse 18, the son of Jesse, who is skillful in playing. I believe there's a young man who survived out there on the hillside. One of the reasons that he survived and one of the reasons that he did so well is because the joy of the Lord was his strength. And I believe that his soul was alive with music. I believe that he was capable because he was sensitive. In other words, he's a man after God's own heart. And here out there on the hills of Judea, even though it's a very humble and humbling job and task, he realized that God had put him there to be capable of whatever he was going to do for God, he was going to be capable. There's a lot of people don't care about being capable, you know. David, number one, was a capable shepherd. Beloved, he wasn't born a shepherd. I want you to know that. Billy Graham wasn't born a preacher. Tom Roberts, Luton Neely, Frank Perry, none of us. It's something you work at. With all the strength that you have, depending upon His strength, depending upon His wisdom, depending upon His knowledge, and you never arrive. You never arrive. You never get there. You always are reaching forth. You're always reaching forth. Because you see, He's the example. The Lord is my shepherd. Every preacher must say that. The Lord, every elder must say that. Every shepherd must say that. The Lord is my, who's your example? The Lord. The chief shepherd. And so David is a capable shepherd. Verse 11 of chapter 16. Samuel says, where is he? And hear the words of his father. He's keeping the sheep. Beloved, I believe if there's anything that we need to work at is how to keep sheep. No local church is going to be what God wants it to be unless we learn how to keep sheep. How to tend sheep. It's not just Now, some people have the idea that it's just carrying a name. Carrying a name. There are a lot of people who go after it just because they say carrying a name. Some may go because of authority. Some may go because there's a little glamour attached to it. I don't think there was any of that out there in the hills of Judea. I don't think there was any of that. But David was keeping sheep. The youngest of his brethren, he's keeping sheep. And he's capable in the art of shepherding. And I say that, beloved, deliberately. There's an art. Because sheep are very tender. Brother Godfrey used to talk a lot about the sheep and watching the sheep and taking care of the sheep. And as you look at sheep, you know, we're just like that. You have to handle them. Somebody said that you have to handle Christians with kid gloves. You have to handle sheep that way. You have to handle sheep that way. And somebody said this to me a long time ago. They said, if you're ever going to make it in the work of God, you're going to have a heart. You're going to have a hide like a rhinoceros and a heart like a dove. That goes for any of us who are going to tend sheep. Any of us who are going to tend sheep. Because you've got to care for them. It's their food, which is very, very necessary. Not only just to make sure their belly is full, but to make sure that the food that they get keeps them healthy. Because if you're not careful, you see, they go nibbling here and nibbling over there, and before you know it, they're nibbling some poison stuff. It's the shepherd's responsibility to make sure that the sheep don't nibble that poison stuff. The devil would bring that poison stuff into the fold, into the flock, among the flock. It's our responsibility to keep it out. To keep it out. Sometimes it's not easy. You find a sheep nibbling on it. He's been eating on it for a little while. And that sheep wants, if he could, he would fight you. He'd fight you. You've got to take it away from him. David was a capable shepherd. Peter says this, feed my sheep. The Lord Jesus Christ's words. Feed my sheep. Remember how Peter was having his struggles and the Lord wanted to give him some recognition again? And he says, there's no greater honor. Feed my sheep. I would have to say, if there's a crisis in all the assemblies that I travel in, as an evangelist, you get to move in a lot of churches. You move about. The greatest crisis is in leadership today. The greatest crisis. A lot of men in leadership who don't have time, and you can't tend sheep if you're not with the sheep. You can't. You can't run a bank if you're not in the bank. You know, you can't be the captain of a boat if you're not on the ship. I don't see how you can do it. And we find that so many people are so busy today. So many people, wherever I go, there's a crisis. There's almost a panic. And sometimes the burden falls on a few. Faithful. Sticking with the stuff. But secondly, the Lord not only found that he was a capable shepherd, and just let me say that there are two things that I wrote down a long time ago in my Bible about shepherding, and it's this. There are some shepherds, and they fleece the flock. They have no heart for the flock, for the saints of God. They know how to fleece them. And there are other shepherds, and they have a heart for the people of God, and they know that they need feeding, and they feed the flock of God. I pray, God, that all of us will have a heart to feed the flock of God. This is a difficult day. To give them food that will nourish them and strengthen them and cause them to be built up in their most holy faith. But secondly, David was a capable singer. Verse 18 says he was skillful in playing. In another place, he's spoken of as the sweet psalmist, singer of Israel. David was a capable musician. David was a composer. David was a singer. David believed this, that if God gives you a gift, it ought to be developed. And if God develops a gift that he gives you, it ought to be exercised. And David believed if God gives you a gift and it is being developed, it ought to be exercised. If it's being exercised, it ought to be exercised to the best of our capabilities. With God's help. With God's help. I sometimes am confused by music, modern music. I'm not going to say a lot about it, but I want to tell you that I'm very confused. Because there's a lot of music that just bothers me. That comes in the name of the church. That comes in the name of Christian music. I say that we've degenerated when it comes to our music. And so when I go some places and they have the Redemption Songbook, I rejoice. A brother, Sebastian Campbell, is an Anglican minister. And he went to Israel with Tom and me. Well, you know what he told us? Even though they have their Anglican book, he has bought Redemption songbooks and put in the Anglican church, South Beach in Nassau. The Redemption songbook, you believe that? And they're singing some of the same songs on the trip. When they would raise some songs, it was some of the same songs that we love to sing. Sebastian Campbell. He's the radical priest, they call him, from Cat Island. But he's a capable soldier too. Not only a capable singer. A mighty man of valor. A man of war. Moffat says he's a brave man, a soldier. And how did it all happen? Shepherding. He became a capable soldier by becoming a capable singer. He became a capable singer by becoming a capable shepherd. It all started by commitment to God. It all started by yielding himself to God. It all started by being a man of God. And that's what God is asking for. And number three, God discovered comeliness in David. David was ruddy with bright eyes. The scripture says he was good looking. And the Lord said, that's the one to anoint. Verse 12 of chapter 16. You see, in body, he was a man after God's own heart. There isn't much emphasis placed today on healthy bodies in our Christian teaching. I guess very often we forget that there is the text that says that now we've been saved, our bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. And so if our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, then they ought to be sacred. We ought to put a high value on our bodies. I am forever sorry for the way I treated my body. Even though I haven't been out there and done a lot of things that some of the people have done. Yet I feel that I could have eaten better. I feel that I could have exercised more. I feel I could have done things that could have made my body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. David was physically healthy. Now he was ruddy, it says. That means that he was healthy and strong. Now there are some Christians, beloved, who are sick. They seem to be born with physical handicap. And God works in that handicap. I've seen some people who are handicapped and I've seen what God has been able to do through them. God would never have done it through them if they were not handicapped. We're not talking about that. That's something that you can't do anything about. Where a lot of people say, well, physical exercise, bodily exercise profits very little, and then we brush it off and go. But it does profit. It does profit. Talk to some of us who have high blood pressure and diabetes and little heart ain't beating just how it ought to beat. Talk to us and they'll tell you what the doctor says. Says start walking. Says start doing some aerobic exercises. They tell me that if you're a person of average size, you perform in each day of 24 hours the following functions. Your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168 million miles. You breathe 23,040 times. You inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You eat between 3 and 4 pounds of food and drink 3 quarts of liquid. Perspire about 2 pints through your skin. Your body maintains a steady temperature of 98.6 degrees under all weather conditions. You generate 450 foot-tons of energy. You speak 4,800 words, men only. And move and use over 700 muscles. Use 7 million brain cells. Walk 7 miles, women only. That's in the home. Women do a lot more walking than us. And this body belongs to God with all this activity. And I wonder how much of mine is dedicated to my Creator. I trust I can dedicate it to Him more in the days that lie ahead of me. The question I have is, have we presented our bodies a living sacrifice to God? Have we presented our bodies a living sacrifice to God? Someone has written this about my body. Thank you, God, for this body, for the things I can feel, for the things I can sense. Thank you for the wondrous things I can do, for the bright figure of my body all the days beginning, for its weariness at the day's end. Thank you even for its pain, if only to sting me into awareness of my existence upon earth. I look upon your creation in amazement. For we are indeed fearfully and wonderfully made, all its secret, silent machinery, the meshing and the churning. What a miracle of design. Don't let me hurt it, God, or scar it, or spoil it, or overindulge, or overdrive it. That's me. But don't let me coddle it either, God. Let me love my body enough to keep it agile and able and well. And strong. And lastly, David was physically happy and physically handsome. It says in verse 12, with bright eyes. Bright eyes. That means that he was alert. David wasn't sleeping. David got his rest and David was happy at his 3 meals a day. He was happy in knowing that he was doing what God had chosen for his life. He had chosen God. It was God's choice for him, but God gave him a choice to choose what God wanted him to do, to choose what God chose for him. God was not going to superimpose his will upon him, even though it was God's will for him to do what he was doing. And he was physically handsome. And that means he was good looking. Now, it doesn't have to mean that he was somehow physically more attractive than others. Because you don't have to be physically attractive to be attractive. You know that, right? But David had a winsome personality. When people looked at him, they knew he was a well-rounded person. A person who had given his heart to God. A person who had given his life to God. A person who concerned himself only with glorifying God in everything that he did. You see, the apostle says it like this. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. And he says, these athletes did it for a crown of laurel leaves. If they did it for that, how much more should we strive for an incorruptible crown. The Apostle Paul was blind, possibly, right? Because whatever the thorn in the flesh was. I don't think God told us, because if he had, then a lot of people would have been already having that affliction and being a super saint because of whatever it was. But, you know, you may guess it's something else, and I may say, well, it was his eyesight. And the Apostle Paul definitely wanted to have that eyesight and to serve God in that area of writing and doing other things. But I know this, that Paul was surrendered to Jesus Christ, and he was yielded, his body, soul, and spirit was yielded to God, and so was David. And that's the lesson for every one of us. Regardless of what God has called us to do, we ought to know what God has called us to do. And there is the criteria, beloved. And I trust the Word of God has been a blessing to you. Shall we pray? Father, we give thanks to Thee this evening for Thy Word. We pray, our Father, that together we might discover what Your will is for our lives. And whatever that is, our Father, we pray that we might strive with all that is within us, with all the ability that You give us, by Your divine help and strength, by Your Spirit and through Your Word, through development spiritually, as we yield to the Spirit of God and all the things that You teach us. We pray, Father, that we might become vessels that are fit for the Master's use, to glorify Thee here on earth. Help us, we pray, in Jesus' name.